So Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for allowing us to gather in your name. We thank you for this time. Father, we just pray that even as we discuss and even as we commune, we just ask that, Lord, that everything we discuss will be centered around you and that you will be enthroned at the end. So we thank you, Lord Jesus, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Yo, so we're back. We're better than ever. You already know what it is. Worship of Isaiah and Friends. And today I'm coming with something different for you guys today. We're taking it away from the worship leaders and the singers, and we're going down the route of the people behind that. So we're going down the route of the musicians, the instrumentalists. And I've got two gentlemen with me today. I'll start with the one on my right. So I have this person, someone I actually went to university with. We were in a gospel choir together. He's a bad boy drummer. He's a.
I mean, that's a shit. Just waiting to be introduced in there.
He's a great guy, humble, just a lovely soul, man. So yeah, just introduce yourself and tell us who you are.
Thanks for the words, though, man. I appreciate that. Not even a joke. I don't take them lightly. Yeah, Shens, Shenny, 24, going 25. What else do I say about myself? Yeah, man.
Yeah, like, what do you do? Like, give us a little intro.
I'm a drummer, musical director type vibe, drummer. I've been drumming since I was, like, youth. Proper young. Just started playing in church, really. And then went to college, did a BTEC in music performance. As well as GCSE music and things like that. But then my degree's in something else, in marketing. Mm. So I did music, and then from that, been able to, you know, tour around Europe, play with, like, artists in gospel as out of gospel. Faith Child, we did a lot of stuff in Europe. So my church, obviously with my church, a lot of guest artists come. So worked with, like, Sherelle Franklin, Michelle Williams, Sonny, what's his name?
Sonny Badu?
Not Sonny Badu. Samuel Kosso, oh. Mike Arimu, okay. All them type of, like, guys, and then just, like, in church and just playing, and then as well as that, just teaching. Mm. Yeah, man, just trying to do what I can, man.
He's a busy man.
Trying to do what I can, man.
He's a busy, busy man. But yeah, no, thanks for coming on, bro.
Love
for I appreciate you and honour you as always. It's always love every time, man. Someone you can learn from, guys, so don't worry, we're going to put all his details below and make sure you connect with him. And to my left is someone I met recently, actually, because of social media. Social media is a great place.
Definitely.
This is a guy I've met recently. Literally, when you meet someone and you know, like, you just get the vibe from them that they're just a naturally loving person. And that's the vibe I got from him when I met him. He's an amazing bassist, as you guys saw on the Instagram page. Just a lovely guy, man. And just introduce yourself and tell us who you are.
Yeah, man. Well, first off, thank you, and right back at you, bro. Yeah, man, I'm David, or some people know me as Fifi. So, yeah, I play the bass. I've been playing bass for about 10 years now or so. What else do I do? By day, I'm a science teacher, so I teach chemistry all the way up to A-level and secondary school and stuff. So the music thing is kind of something that I've been doing a long time in church, especially. But it's only really recently I've kind of started to see how much more I can get done and kind of make a bit of a career of it, / balance it with my day job and that kind of thing. In an ideal world, I would love it to be the main thing. So, in terms of what I've done, I guess... Yeah, my CV isn't as stacked as Shen's, is it?
But it's coming.
But yeah, so I played with, like, a lot of the UK guys, like my guy called out, Emmanuel Smith, Deborah Darling, a lot of those kind of guys. There's a new guy, Femi Sachs, as well, that's come up really recently. Played with Joe Metal, got to do that recently, which was really, really cool. In terms of, like, the non-gospel side, worked with, like, Jazz Karis, who's, like, a really cool artist. So that kind of stuff there, man.
You might have worked with a lot of people still. I hear it. I love it. I think that's the beauty of you lot being musicians, isn't it? It's like there's always people to work with. I think with, like, let's say for singers, for example, it's a bit harder because it's like you can't just pick and, like, say, okay, I want to sing with this person, I want to sing with that person. But with you lot, there's like a pool of people to work with because you play a specific instrument and you play a specific instrument, which people always will need. And I think with singers, you're not, you may not always be needed as much as you guys. So I think, like, it's lit for you lot, man. And I wish I could play an instrument.
Never too late.
I grew up in church playing drums like you, but I think everybody actually jumped on drums. I think every auntie or uncle leading choir is like, oh, you just jump on this thing.
You know it is, the instrument's there, so you just go after service and just you see sticks or a pen.
Trust me, a pen.
They used to take the pen, drumming, but it's starting, isn't it? It's the concept. Licking the instrument and just. So, and that's where it started, essentially, for me almost.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Yeah, that was literally what I was going to ask you both. Like, so, like, how did it actually start? Like, were you forced into it? Were you, like, did you just think, oh, I want to try this, or, like, what?
You go first.
You know what? For me, so I've got an older brother. And when we grew up in church, my brother used to always be the one that used to go after. My mum's in the choir as well, so during choir practice or whatever. My brother used to be the one that used to run up on the kit. My brother could play. My brother had, like, drum lessons, guitar lessons, flute lessons, piano lessons, bare instruments. And he didn't tune to it, but I did. So he still does music. Like, he's musically inclined and whatnot. But I was, like, the one that took more to it. So in a sense, I was always just trying to... I was a younger brother in it. I was just looking at what my older brother did. And one time your mum leaves you together, I'm just copying, man. But then from that, I guess the gift kind of just, it kind of, maybe it was, that's where it was supposed to happen. I don't know. But so I just happened to hold it. So in church, I was the youth that used to just take the sticks and just do hi-hats. Because I couldn't reach the kick yet. You get me? And then growing up in the same church, been in my church from day. So growing up in the same church, literally just there, going on to school. Started doing African drumming, like my school did that, like, African drumming, very cultural school. Started doing African drumming, so my rhythm was there. My dad also rhythmic as well, so kind of, my mum's in the choir, so we're kind of musical in a sense, family. So I think that's how it all started for me. And then, yeah, just in school, I just was part of school orchestras and doing percussion and reading music and doing all the, like, theory side of stuff in school, because I was part of the, like, wind orchestra. I was, like, the percussionist in school and things like that. So that's how it just stuck with me, and bruv, that's all I know, bro. Like, I don't know. That's all I know, man.
I hear that. So when did you kind of, like, know that this was something that you want to actually, like, do?
From day, like,
oh, swear.
I think, like I say, when I say it's all I know, like, I was decent at maths in school. My grades weren't the best, but music, my degree's in marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So the two things that I said in life from day is music and marketing. There's the two things that all I know, that's all I've had my hands in life. So it's like, when I think of me, I just think music and I think marketing. So it's like, like when I picked subjects, it was GCSE, music and business and, like, media and things like that. So it was like, I didn't know anything else. And then I think I got my first session gig at 16.
Okay.
So I can't remember the name of the artist, but I remember where the gig was. It was in North London somewhere. And that was my first paid gig. And then that was at 16, so I was in year 11. So from that, it was the summer of year 11, so 2012. And then from that, I was like, we can balance this out. And then when I failed my A-levels, I went to go. When I failed AS, I went to do BTEC music. So when I banged that out, I said, yeah, this one's it. So.
Okay. What about you, David?
I think my journey might be a little bit different. It's not really the norm. For me, my journey kind of makes me think, yeah, like, this is definitely a gift from God, because my family's not really, like, my dad wasn't musical, my mom's not musical, that kind of thing. So I just started off in church. My senior pastor plays, like, electric guitar. So one time, randomly, I think I was like 9, 10, and he was like, yeah, come on Saturdays, we're going to be giving lessons to the kids. And my mum was like, what do you think? I was like, all right, let's go. So around 9, 10, I learned acoustic guitar, like the very basics, like see playing like a couple chords here and there. And then, I don't know, I just stopped. So had an acoustic guitar. Then about a year or two later, this guy came to my church to like take over the music. And so he would play keys, and then he used to see like who's there to play bass. There was an uncle that was playing bass in my church. He moved with his family abroad. So they left the bass there. The bass is still there, five-string Warwick bass. Yeah. Like it actually sounds kind of nice. So he left it there. And then all of a sudden now, the guys that plays keys is like, come on stage. So he'll be playing praise and worship and playing bass in his left hand and giving me the numbers. And I'm like trying to follow like live whilst he's playing during service. So this must have been when I was like maybe 13, 14. And then all of a sudden he leaves the church. And like I'm the only musician in church. So that at that point I was kind of forced into it. Mm-hmm. So it was either like sink or swim. So you know, I just started trying to improve a little bit. I've got some cousins in that play, so I used to go to their church a lot. That's where I learned how to play like half like high life stuff, innit? Mm-hmm. And yeah, one day I just thought, right, like I can actually play bass a little bit. Let me take it seriously. So I think around 16, I think I started taking bass seriously. And then yeah, by the time I was ready to go to uni, like I could already like play, like by that point I'd played bears with like some of the gospel artists that I mentioned earlier. So it was kind of like a progression. I was never like, oh, like from young I'm gonna be a musician kind of thing. It kind of just was something that I just did on the side kind of thing, and eventually it became like the passion kind of thing.
Well, I hear that still. It's crazy because it essentially sounds like you were strategically positioned in a sense where it's like all of these things were put right in front of you. And then it came to a time where it was like, okay, cool. It's time for you to step up and kind of step into that fully. And then like, it's sort of like God actually prepared you ahead of time before you even knew it. Because it's like all of these people were coming and going, and then you started your lessons at this point. And then as you were growing, people were leaving, and it's time. It's like, okay, cool. I'm now at this place where I can kind of step into it properly and kind of take it on as my responsibility now. Like, so that's why I think it's quite interesting to actually hear about, because what do I know about instruments and being a musician? I don't really know about that. I just know I know singing. That's it. But that's mad, because like two completely different stories. You get me? Like one actually wanted to do it from the jump, and one was just like, yeah, you know what, let's see how it goes. And then at the same time, God is in the middle of both stories. You know what I'm saying? Because once you actually have a passion for something, like your passion don't just come from anywhere. Like God actually places that in you. You know what I'm saying? And with you, it's just like, it's literally right in front of you. You can see that it's literally divine positioning for your senior pastor to be like, yeah, there's this Saturday thing. And then from there, look at you now, fam. You
know what I'm saying? Literally, like,
it's crazy.
Yeah, it's mad.
That's cool, man. Because, but for me, hearing that, yeah, like you getting pushed to play. When I was younger, like growing up in church, my church is a big church, innit? But it's like,
you have to want it. If not, then you're
like,
not.
Yeah, and then also, when I'm in the middle of trying to interject and, I guess, jump on, bro, they're actually rehearsing for conference or rehearsing to perfect Sunday. So it's like, hey, young one, get off. We got to rehearse this now, you get it? And then I'm like, oh, but... And then, oh, no, relax.
See, that's the thing. Like, I never grew up around that kind of standard environment of, like, conference. There's sound check, there's this, there's that. So, like, I used to go to, like... And the thing is, gospel scene in the UK right now is a bit annoying. I really feel like we need a revival. Because when I was young, like, there was an event every Saturday somewhere. So it's only through that, like going to events every Saturday, I'll be watching the sound guys, I'll be watching the musicians sound check, I'll be watching this, I'll be watching that. And like, I never got that from my church, innit? So it's only going there that I got to see, raw, like people grew up in this kind of thing. So that's why it kind of annoys me when I see people that are in certain scenarios and situations where they could be a certain musician, they can push music, and it's like, What? You lot don't know what you have.
Like, I'm not gonna lie.
I must have been 18 is the first time I used in-ears and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? Whereas a lot of men have grown up with that. Do you get what I'm saying?
Okay, so what is an in-ear?
What's
that?
In-ears, like, so if you're on stage, you're singing, there's obviously fold-back that you need to hear.
Oh, yeah.
And there's house, right? Okay. So there's like monitors that the congregation, the audience, whoever's there needs to hear, and there's what you need to hear. Yeah. So imagine replacing those speakers that you have, that you're hearing, with a pack or like a cabled version that goes into headphones.
Okay. And you can personalize exactly what levels you want to hear.
Oh, I see.
So like for me, I just turned those BBs all the way down.
Yeah. I'm gonna lie, bro.
BBs just go, I just need them a little bit. No, I just have that kick. No overhead on the drum because you lot just be smashing.
No, you're lacking your ears, not overhead.
Yeah, man, no overhead. Because if, especially if more time I'm next to the drummer, so I don't need to hear that. Just hearing.
Well, I won't even lie. For me, as a drummer, which is weird, a lot of people say, what? I hardly want drums in my mix. I want like a tad, like just a touch. Maybe because, not every time my mix has been perfect, so I just avoid
it. If you ever drop off click, I'm going to tweet and say it's because you don't have drums in your mix.
I have click. Because I'm a feeling guy, innit?
Oh, so you just... I hear
so
it.
So I'm playing.
Okay.
But then I might have a little bit of kick in my head, but I don't really like bare drums. And for me, it would just be loud compared to...
Anyway, because you can hear it, to be honest.
Yeah, and I'm just feeling... It's vibration, bro. Mm-hmm. So I know my vibration. You get it? So even if I'm playing with my... That's probably why I'm a heavy hitter.
See, this is mad insightful for me as well, fam, because it's like... You never ever hear people talking about this or like their experiences around all of this technicalities and all of them things there.
Yeah, well, people wouldn't know that.
You get what I'm saying? Yeah, like, man, no one actually talks about it.
People think we just come to church and we just do whatever.
That's what I'm saying. No one actually talks about it. I think that's kind of why I wanted to kind of speak to the both of you, or obviously three of you. I'm not going to say the person's name, but he knows who he is and he knows that he should have been a part of this. But it's all good, bro. It's all love. We still love you, innit? It's calm. But it's mad because obviously, like I was saying, this is just giving people an insight on how much you guys actually have to go through. Like, this thing that we see on a Sunday, it's not just like, oh, they get up on stage and then they just start playing. There's more to it, innit? It's been mad insightful so far. But I think what I kind of want to know now, from the perspective of an instrumentalist, from someone behind the scenes, in a sense, like, what do you see worship as, like, as an instrument? Like, what do you see it as for you? What does it actually mean being able to play in a, like, let's say, a worship set? Like, how important has worship become for you, not as a believer, but as an instrumentalist? Obviously, with the aspect of being a believer at the same time, but from the angle of me sitting behind an instrument or me playing an instrument, how important and what does it mean to you? Whoever wants to dive in there first.
That's a big question. Big question. I think we could talk for ages about that. But I think I get what you mean in terms of saying not, like, for lack of a better word, not from the perspective of a believer, but just in general.
Yeah.
I think worship in general has saved a lot of people from a lot of dark places in their life. Like, when you're going through a lot and, like, you could have had a terrible week, and there'll be times where it's like, I'm really looking forward to church because I know, like, when I sit there to play, like, I'm just gonna play and, like, just let it all out. Like, all of that emotion kind of like as just a cry unto God kind of thing, and just like a cry, like, just out to the congregation. That there's one thing I remember a friend of mine said to me, and it was kind of like, so you know the scripture about the woman that touched the hem of Jesus' garment and then the power left Jesus. So a friend of mine, she kind of used this analogy talking about like us playing like our stringed instruments, and as we're playing, like, power is leaving and like going out onto the congregation. And then there's like that William McDowell song that talks about, you know, heal every broken heart, touch every what's the one? Let there be dinner in his presence, Jesus. I can't even remember the song, but like, as you're playing, like, Like, providing that like, you've studied your word and you've like taken time in your secret place, whatever God has put in you is kind of like the, it's now pouring out onto the people as you're playing. And obviously, man can't really sing like that. So as I'm playing, like, there are times where I wouldn't even remember what I did in the service, like, and it's just like, all them lines, like, you just see, and they'll just be like, whoa, like, what was that? And God's designed music to be used. Like, obviously, music can be abused, but if it's used for God's glory and it's like combined with the word of God, which is like centered around Jesus and Christ, and it's just like, wow, like, I'm just like, that question has made me think of all the powerful worship moments like I've had or been involved in or seen experience. Or experienced. Yeah. The best one for me is I went to Boston in February and I went to Jubilee Church, so like Jubilee Worship, and their worship service, like, that was just like a normal Sunday for them, but like,
imagine that, it was
crazy, like crazy worship experience.
They match the excellence with the worship.
I was going to say that, but I feel like that's coming in the next question. I heard that. Let me leave that bit and then I'll let you jump in, man.
No, it's mad. You know what? Like, one thing I actually took from what you said is, like, essentially, you playing your instrument and you having that experience is, like, you and God are having your own moment in front of, like, you're in front of everyone, but it's you and God in that moment. Like, it's like you don't even think that people are there. It's like I'm having that encounter with God through my instrument.
Yeah,
like, it's so powerful. And even when you're talking about it, it's just it brings me back to moments where I'm leading worship and I've had that experience with God. And you sometimes you forget that you're in front of people, you're leading people, but it always brings you back to like, this is my communion to God, and your communion to God is you playing that instrument, and that's the way that you're glorifying him at the same time. And it's mad, because you would never ever think that someone playing a bass or someone playing the drums feels like that. Do you know what I'm saying? You would just think, oh, these men are just there enjoying their
things. But that's the thing, to me and to us, like, I don't understand how people don't think that it feels like that. I don't get it, but like, you're not the first person to have said that to me. Like, even when I... I've heard that so many times. Like, I even remember there's been times where it's like, you know, we might be accused of, like, not being serious because as we're playing, I have people making fun of my neck movements all the time and stuff. But it's like, obviously, there's a bit of it where, like, let's not cap. Like, we're feeling the music.
Yeah, you're enjoying yourself. Like you're allowed
feeling
to.
The music. But there's very much a part of it where it's like, yo, like, that's where we're not even... front in, like, we're just your gods, we're here, like,
yeah, definitely. And there's definitely times when similar, like, when you're saying, like, feeling the music, but like, when you're playing with somewhat musicians that flow better or play better,
just say better musicians, bro. I'm not trying to when you're playing with good musicians, is what you're trying to say.
Yeah. When I play with good musicians in church, there's no distraction.
I hear
so
that.
When everyone's just nice, like, we're all good, everyone's good, there's chemistry musically, yeah, and it's like you have no worries. Sometimes if I'm playing with maybe someone that's not too sure,
it's been learning, he's learning, I like to say, oh, they're learning,
yeah,
man.
they're learning, they're still growing in the instrument, yeah, yeah, you kind of have to keep an eye on them or make sure that they're good, like, because we all have to be
and you know why that's very important what you said, because this is the mistake, especially I think that we see in the UK, like, I feel like a lot of people don't value skill, like they don't value genuine skill, because skill is so important, because when you're so skilled on your instrument or in what you're doing, that leaves you, like, people think that takes away from the actual worship, or people love to do this whole skill versus like relationship with God, when it's not a versus thing, it's they're in tandem with each other.
Right.
When you are so skilled on your instrument, I can play on autopilot and still have the music be lashing, still have the worship be flowing. That now gives me the time to, sometimes I'm playing man's praying in tongues, or like I'm flowing with the worship.
Bro.
When you don't even know your skills properly, you can't do that. Because you're focusing so hard on what you're doing to not make a mistake. So if we're now playing with other musicians that, like, I'm having to give the numbers to all the time and stuff, like he said, like it takes a little bit away of my thing, which is not a bad thing. No, it's not a bad thing. I'm just saying that this is why your like skill level is so important, because if you are so skilled, then that's when you can now have time to now do everything else that is required. But then obviously there's the other extreme of it where you can be so skilled that you're now just having fun and you're not paying any attention to that.
They know what makes, like they know landing on the floor is gonna do what, like, you know what
yeah
I mean?
So then you know like I can say I'm like, I think all musicians are guilty of it sometimes, where it's like, you know, we've played now and then after we've played, and don't get me wrong, man, playing in church is very, very draining. So it's like you've done that sometimes, it's like, you know, the word is there, it's like, oh, might not be your favorite pastor preaching this week, so you kind of tune out a little bit. Like, we're all guilty of it, but so that's the other extreme of what I'm saying. But the optimum, like, is for skill to be here and also relationship and how much you've put into the word and how much you're now therefore giving out into the worship is there. It's so, so important.
What about you?
Yeah, you went off topic a little bit, but we're not off topic.
No, you're
still...
What
was the question?
Yeah, so, essentially, like, what is, like, from your perspective as a musician, the worship?
Yeah, I think, for me, I know, like, in terms of like growing in the instrument and knowing that that's for me, I feel like it's become like knowing that that's your gift. That's something that God gave you. So regardless, singers is the same thing. Preachers, it's the same thing. It's still a gift. But for me, I'm giving back, like when I'm worshiping, that's me and God. Like that's a conversation between me and him. Whether they're worship leader or cool, I'm in tune with everyone. But when I'm playing, it's like I'm not thinking about what the singer's doing or what everyone's doing. I'm like, of course I am thinking about it, but I'm with me and God. Like, that's me and I'm thinking, that's me giving back. That's me, like, you give me a gift. Now this is me pouring back to everyone, but giving back to God. Like, I'm using what I have, knowing that that's not what I created. Like, it was given to me. So when I'm doing, like, praise and worship or whatever, that's when I am giving back. Whether I'm playing, even when I'm playing on a gig that is not in church, bro, like, I know one thing that I live by is living. I'm going to be the light wherever I am. So whether I'm lashing the gig or whatever, I'm giving back to God. Like, I'm giving back to God, like, when I am. Like, I know myself. Like, I'm not going to, like, especially in church, I know that I'm doing that. Like, that's what I'm on. Like, that's so for me, it's definitely worship is just like how I flow and just how I feel, knowing that when I'm behind that kit, God gave me this gift and allowed me to be in these rooms or be in these situations or be in this behind here or play this opportunity right now. Because, brother, I'm not the only drummer. Like, I'm not the only... There's other man that can play kit in church. There's other man that can play kit on a worship event that someone called me for. There's other people that could do this gig here. Like, but when I'm at that point, like, that's an opportunity that God's given me with the gift that he's given me. So I'm giving back, like, giving back. So... That's how I see it. Yeah, man.
This is good. I like this.
That's how I see it.
I like this a lot because, bro, it's so insightful for me, man. Honestly, like, the reason why I want to speak to you, bro, because I want to learn, like, I want to understand how it is and how it looks like. Because, you know, sometimes you don't really see, you never see what goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
You get me? And I think literally everything you've said leads on to kind of my next point is like, so, or my next question per se, like, how do you find the balance between lashing and worshipping? You get? Because it's like, you can be going ham, and then you then still have to remember that, okay, but I'm still worshipping at the same time. Like, how do I not let the lashing take over my worship?
I could actually, all I would say in the terms is read the room. That's how I would see it. It's just read the room. Like, sometimes, especially read who you're playing with, read who's worshipping, read who's, like, read the environment. Like, sometimes it's not called for that. Like, you're lashing, it's not needed sometimes because you're in that space where there's no room for that. And then obviously with skill set as a musician, you understand musicianship. So you understand how as a musician, you need to now make sure that everyone's playing together, because you're a band, you've got to be cohesive, innit? Like, so man can't be doing bears when keys player's not doing much, or bass, especially bass. Man can't be playing the kick pattern and the bass drop, bass player's doing something else. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you probably don't even like that. Like, when your bass drop,
I'm not gonna lie, a lot of my boys say I'm a bully. Like, if I'm playing with a drummer that's not assertive, like, I force his kick pattern to match what
this
I'm
is
playing.
What you've got to do. Those are the type of things, like, you got to lock in with those things. It's like, you have to be, like, cohesive. Like, a band, musicians aren't every, like, if you're playing a 3-4 piece band, you're not a 3-4 piece man playing together, you're a band.
Yeah.
It's one word. It's not, hey, it's a band. Like, you're playing together. So, even when we're all under the house, we're one as well. So, it's like, you just have to all be on the same page. Just read the room. But that's how I would see it. So, as a musician, or like, musicianship-wise, just understand your different dynamics of where you're at. So, whether you're playing in a big setting where, you know, they're asking for that. If the MDs are asking for that, give it to him. That's what he wants. Because he's obviously musical director doing his thing. But if it's calm, just sometimes hold off, like. Sometimes hold off, like. You don't have to do bears, like. You don't have to.
Okay. What about you? What do you think?
What do you mean by lashing, like?
So, like, okay. When I say lashing, I mean, like, I'm just going ham, like, I'm going...
Overplaying.
Like, yeah, like, I'm just going OTT, like.
When I hear that question, I'm thinking from a bit of a different perspective than Shane's, I think. I think it starts with, first of all, like, what's the setting of the environment that you're in? Like, is this a live recording for someone's album? Is this Wednesday Bible study? Is it Sunday service? Like, it actually depends on where you are. So that's phase one. Cool. Now we've established where we are. Who am I playing with and who is in charge? Because, obviously, there's always going to be, like... To be honest, okay, 9 times out of 10 is going to be an MD, a music director. But at the same time, with a lot of guys that I play with, like, that hat can kind of shift. Like, the MD is almost like a free roam. Like, one man can have it on one song, next man has it kind of thing. And then also, like, if you're playing as a band, and like he said, if one person's going in one direction, then we're all kind of going in that direction. Mm-hmm. But then another aspect of it is playing the song and playing the music. Music is structured, and especially gospel music, like, it has a certain structure, and it's a lot of the time it's that structure that allows, you know, like, the atmosphere to kind of, like, be charged, as people will say.
Yeah.
And a lot of time, even when you're like, oh, we don't sing the exact song the way it goes, like, whether you like it or not, spontaneous worship, like, flows and sections still structure, are structured.
Yeah.
They always start with a little breakdown.
You're still
and then
the verse,
you still, like, the you know, you build, and even if the worship leader now changes the lyrics and changes what they're singing, like, it's still structured. And what I mean by that is not structure as in we've planned and written down. Structure as in it follows a musical pattern, and there's still music involved in there. So as long as you understand music, then you can always follow. Mm. Now, to link back to your question, it all comes back to skill. If you're not skilled enough or in your understanding to understand and know what it is that is required from you in that situation, like, you can hear from God and God might want to push you this way, but if you haven't got the capability to do it, it's either it doesn't happen or it's one of them, wow, Holy Spirit must have taken over my fingers because I don't know what I played. Mm-hmm. But, like, that's not going to happen all the time. Do you know what I mean? Like, God's given us a gift and he wants us to, we're supposed to practice in our own time and multiply that gift so that when he wants to elevate us, we're ready for that. But I mean, in saying all of that, at the same time, like, God will be glorified however he wants to be glorified. But, like, I still believe that, you know, there's an onus on us to do our part. And even though, yes, we're worshipping as a musician, like, you're low-key there to do a job. And as a worship leader, you're actually still there to do a job. So it's great to go off in your own place and be like, oh, it's just me and God. But you can do that bearing in mind that your skill level is in such a way that you can still lead the people into where you're going. Like, almost as if you're taking them into your mind now as you worship. Mm. There are some people that aren't skilled in leading worship or aren't skilled in playing that... they'll now go off on doing their own thing, and the congregation are looking at them like, what's going on? Mm. Like, do you know what I mean? So, Like, it comes down to skill in terms of finding the balance, because they can easily both be up here. Your Lashin and Worship can both be up here.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then again, reading the room is a definite. I'm not really sure what else
I think you've summed it up perfectly. Like, it's easy to understand where you're both coming from. It's literally that. Like, there's nothing else you can do. Like, I think the emphasis is heavy on skill with you guys as musicians or instrumentalists or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. I don't know why I don't like that word, you know.
People always have that reaction when it's
like, nah, bro. Do you know what it is? I feel like it's a bit like PTSD. Like, that word is normally used when people are trying to get onto us. Yeah. Like,
oh, swear.
Oh, like, oh, the instrumentalists don't think.
I feel it's a bit of a cultural thing as well. Like, I feel like it's a bit of the African culture. They love the word instrumentalist.
Mm.
Yeah.
I hear that story.
Is, man.
No, I feel like musician is a bit more of a respectful term.
It's the term. It's the correct term. I've never seen instrumentalist on this.
That's true. That's true.
On the CV. Musician.
That's true. That's true. So we're going to kind of like take it in a different direction now. Just like chill, like just relax a bit. Nothing deep. I'm just going to ask you guys a few questions. And I'm just going to give you answers in the best way possible. So, first question is, gospel or CCM?
Gospel.
I knew you guys were going to say that. We had this conversation in the group chat. Because we've had this conversation in the G Clash group chat.
Shout out to Kufre and them, man.
They did a big thing during lockdown, bro.
That was nice, man.
They touched their lives, man.
Trust me.
Thank God. But literally, like, fam, it was, we were talking about it. It's like, I think the conversation was about Stephanie Gretzinger and Tasha Cobbs.
That one,
I didn't know who Stephanie was until I knew that voice. I didn't know the name.
Yeah,
I knew the voice. I didn't know the name.
Mm.
You get it? But that one,
because it was like, we literally, I think I was sitting at my desk at work and this whole conversation was going on, like, I think the debate was who can hit better notes.
Yeah, who's better vocally?
Yeah, who's vocally better? Like, Stephanie or Tasha? And everyone went, oh.
No, but you know what that's like? That question to me is like asking who's the better athlete, Roger Federer or LeBron James?
Mm. Yeah.
LeBron James is clearly the better athlete, but that doesn't take anything away from Roger Federer's greatness in the sport.
Yeah.
Like, we've been in his lane.
Yeah. I think that's what the whole thing is. Mm. And I just, like, don't get me wrong, like, I think people get this idea that I dislike CCM. Like, that is not true.
Yeah, it's not true.
It's just that I feel like people who adore CCM, like, have little to no respect for the craft that comes behind gospel.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
I think it is.
And because they love their CCM guys, they think that their CCM guys can do the gospel thing. No, they can't.
You know, I think,
see, look,
I'm going to bite my tongue there.
You know what? Musically, CCM is easier.
Mm.
So, let's strip it back to what the, in terms of, because to me, I always think gospel music or like Christian music is the message. It's not how the music is portrayed and the sound, right? Mm. So, if you look at the musicality of CCM, tends to be, I'm not saying all of it, tends to be about four chords on the chorus, switches the numbers around on the verse, and then switches it on the bridge, maybe. But then gospel stuff, there's a lot more movements going on. There's a lot more like jazz influence, fusion influence, a lot more diminished chords and things like that, or like stabs or pushes or things like that, that happen in a lot of gospel music. Whereas CCM, from where I've that's my opinion, a lot of the stuff is a lot more simple, easier to listen to, easier to digest.
Mm-hmm.
More like simple music in terms of like playing wise and that.
So
I think a consumer can easily digest simpler things. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
I think following on the back of that, I think, you know, what a lot of people don't realize, and whether you like it or not, gospel, what it's become, gospel music is a genre of music.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of people who love gospel music but aren't Christian, for example. because gospel music now is about the sounds and different things. So it's not every gospel song that even, that's why, you know, I see you man on the TL talking about certain songs you can't sing because of the doctrine and that. Yeah. Like, it's not every song that, you know, fits the Christian message that you're trying to put across.
Like, it's a gospel genre.
But like, that doesn't mean you can't enjoy the music for the music that it is, because it's a genre of music now. That's what it's become. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say whether I like that or whether I dislike it, but it's just a fact of the matter of what it is. Now, in terms of CCM, like, I love CCM music. I love playing CCM music. Like, for me, there's always, it's like a spectrum. It's not one or the other. So, like, your gospel artists are like your Marvin Sapps, your Fred Hammonds. They're on that side of the spectrum. Then on CCM side, you've got, like, in terms of the GOATs, I guess, like, Don Moen and, like, Stephanie Gretchen is, like, more, you know, more contemporary, but she's still, like, CCM. And then you've still got people along the spectrum, like, a bit more CCM, but it's still very, very gospel heavy. It's like Todd Jubilee Delaney. Worship. Todd Delaney is a bit more gospel. Travis, like, all of that kind of stuff. Like, there are some people that genuinely, when they say they don't like gospel and stuff, what they mean to say is that genre of music, that playing, is a little bit too much for me. I don't feel that I can listen to that and worship God and praise God. And that is fine.
But then again, there is something for every single person's ear.
This is what I'm saying.
So, the consumer, as a consumer, everything you take is for you. Like, you consume your own, like, stuff, innit? So whatever you choose to listen to is what you're going to take in. So whether the gospel stuff is too heavy for them or the CCM stuff is too heavy, or it doesn't matter, because as a consumer, everyone has the right. That's the reason why people release stuff or put stuff out, because there's a consumer for everything. There's a listener for everything.
I think as well, a lot of people, especially on Twitter, like, a lot of people don't have the ability to be objective in life, I've realised. Like, so I say that to say this, like, there are some people that maybe gospel isn't for them. Maybe they aren't a fan of, like, you know, Marvin Sapp type of stuff or Hezekiah Walker stuff. Maybe they're not. That's fine. But they don't have the ability to be objective. They're not musical. And then they want to come and tell a musician that this music is better than that music. That doesn't make sense to me. Like, even though I don't listen to a lot of CCM music and stuff, I can still objectively hear a song and be like, this is a very well-written song. It follows this structure. This is a great song. You know, there's great music behind this song. There's great writing behind this song. And I can tell that this song, like, if you sing it in church, like, it's kicking off. Like, I feel like a lot of people in life, not even just in music, in a lot of things, they don't have the ability to have an objective, to be objective or to think objectively about something. Everything is just opinion infused, like, too much sometimes.
Yeah,
that's
very true. Yeah, you know,
me, I got the opinions, but that's me, innit? You get me? That's how I am, bro.
I'm someone, I like to think, you know, from other people's perspectives. Yeah, I like to think about something objectively and think, you know what, I don't like this, but it's actually good.
But again, that's the thing, because whether you can say that about musicians as well, how someone's approach is to playing. Because you can say someone is an amazing musician. Everyone that has the skill that's a musician is a musician. Same with singers. They're a musician. You know the whole saying, everyone can sing. Like, cool. To someone, they're an amazing singer. To someone whose ear is a bit more tuned to musicality, they might say there's things that, you know, you can work on.
Yeah.
So it's, like I'm saying, there's something for everyone. Like, everything that's released, whether it's music, whether it's worship song, worship in general, there's a segment or section for every single person.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's just about finding your preference or your way of, you know, enjoying worship. Like, because I don't think there's nothing wrong with it, or there's no wrong version. Or obviously it depends on the lyrics, and I know you man have got that whole debate thing on what songs mean, and I'm not gonna lie, I haven't really looked into that. When I see it, I kind of
jump over first. It.
But therefore, from a musical aspect, because I guess I'm a musician first, I kind of always listen to music, and I always listen to what music is like, what the music is doing.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna lie, sometimes I won't even cap that, bro.
I don't know the lyrics to the song. Yeah, that's one thing that I think is bad, though.
I'm not gonna lie, it is.
I hold my hands up and say, like, when I listen to a song, like, the first thing I listen to is the music.
Yeah.
Like, I naturally, sometimes, I don't know. I feel, for me anyway, it depends. I might listen to a song first time, and the first thing I listen to is the drums and the drummer.
Okay.
That's me. It's really weird. Then I'll listen to it again. Then I'll listen out for the bass player. Then I'll listen again. And I'm kind of like, especially if I'm learning a song, I can like block out the other
sounds
and kind of reduce them in my brain
and then only focus in on
what I'm hearing or what I'm trying to listen for. Yeah. Like, that's how I learn music. But so now when it comes to actually listening to a song, we'll be in rehearsal and the singer will be like, all right, we're going to go from Jesus Saves. And like, let's just say that's the lyric of the song. And I'll be like...
Where's that? Is that at the beginning? At the end?
And they'll be like, the second chorus. I'll be like...
Really?
I'll be like, sing the line. Jesus. Oh, yeah, that bit. All right, cool. Like, so I've heard the melody rather than the lyrics. Again, so I'm trying to change that. I'm trying to be better.
I think in skill set as well, I think in terms of, you were talking about structure earlier, I think that's one thing that I've definitely learned or tried to learn, especially since like playing in church a lot more. And even from before, structure, because to me, music and structure has always been very important. Mm. So whether I don't know lyrics, you tell me second chorus, you tell, like when I'm charting, like say I'm doing like a gig or something and I have to chart my notes, I'm charting out sections.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I don't chart out numbers, bro. I charted out numbers for the first time 2 weeks ago. Because I've been playing bass a bit. So I now clocked how numbers work. Like, I know how numbers work, but charting numbers out for the first time on like 11 songs, I was like, rah!
Wait, just a bit of context for people that are listening, because some people will probably be thinking, what?
Yeah, sorry, I was talking about.
Like, me, I'm just here. I'm just like, so, what are these guys saying?
So, what Shed is basically saying, like, let's say he's got to play bass at church this Sunday, and he's got to play, I don't know, Your Presence is Heaven to Me, and Here I Am to Worship. Okay, he's never heard those songs before, ever. So what he decides to do is he listens to the song, he finds out what key the song is in. Okay, if he's in the key of C, now C is his root note, that's his one. So then the scale, do, re, mi, so, fa, la, ti, do, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Everything in between that will either be a sharp or a flat, so like a bit higher or a bit lower. So that's what we mean by numbers, because that way, whatever key you're in, you can communicate easily with everybody else about what to play.
Imagine trying to do that to someone and say play D, we'll just throw up F. Some people do, there's a world where that happens.
To be honest, I'm mixed as well though. Like, if I know, like for example, like I know a friend of mine, let's say like I play with my bass, my top string is an A, like I've tuned down. So like there's a friend of mine, if he's on the talkback mic, he might say, rather than saying play the six, he might say, yo, A, low A, meaning that he specifically wants me to play that low A string rather than playing any random six. So some people switch. But
I think it's then again a skill, isn't it? Because then some people have got to that level where they've accepted theory for musical theory as well as the system of numbers and the like circle of numbers. Like, because there's two systems. Like, I can read drum music on a stave, like I can read what it looks like if you wanted me to, but then again, I don't necessarily need that at church setting.
Mm-hmm.
But then understanding bars, which is like, especially for in like 4-4, 1-2-3-4-1, that's 4-4. Knowing that that's a bar, if you said to me, all right, cool, my MD might say, all right, cool, in four bars, drop out, or something like that. Like, maybe something like that. I know four bars, some people don't, some people count 16 and tell me that's 8. And I'm like, well, your division is a bit, your like division of it is different than your measures.
Yeah. But obviously, like with chat talk like that, you're getting into the realm of like, okay, that's like true. This is professionals now that we're dealing with and we're playing with. And I think, I think a lot of people's opinions on musicians and musicianship would change if they like their favorite worship leaders that they love to listen to. If they got to sit in on a rehearsal and hear how rude that worship leader is to his singers his band, I think they would then realize that in the UK it's actually not that deep.
Like, it's light work,
It's like, because they're professionals, like the same way in your workplace, if you're dropping off, like, you know, they're gonna hit you with the first of all, you know, can you see my screen, first of all? But then after that, if you're dropping off, you're gonna be told that, you know, performance, you know, you need a little bit more support, or you need to be whatever. But I feel like here, know, sometimes we're just too, like, this guy's great. Yeah, man, we're too, like, if you sat in on a sound check or sat in on a rehearsal for these professionals, like, you'd actually see, like, there's levels to this. Mm-hmm. Like, there's levels.
Like, to them, it's professional. The thing people will be like, an album or, especially, live recordings. You don't, like, live recordings are, like, hot. Like, if you're sitting there, I've never done a live recording yet.
By God's grace, same, man. I've not done one yet, man. Next year, man, I want to be on a live recording.
I want to do a live recording. But live recordings, for example, imagine you're, that's you want to get your level of, I guess, lash, but then enough for consumers. And then say you're doing more than one take, bro. Every take has to be the same. Or it needs to be clean. You might be playing to a metronome, like a click track, which is like a tempo set that keeps everyone together. Yeah. So in that sense, you can't drop off the click. That's why people laugh at drummers when they drop off the one. Man will say earlier, man was saying, if he goes off the one, I'm gonna say he ain't got drums in his head. Like, because you can't drop off the one, but
That's literally the equivalent of like Kepa, like, not saving very easy. Oh, so, like, that's what it's like. I'm trying to help you understand the severity dropping off the click.
Definitely
playing that weak pass. Like, you're in the middle, there's a clean through ball, triangle. There's a triangle pass, FIFA,
yeah? I hear it.
And then you square it to the next man.
Moving like what Loftus Cheek was doing on the weekend, bro.
Someone called him Softus Cheeks on Twitter. That was
I see someone said he's your MCM, not your CM.
Big bio, man. Trust me. Honestly.
That's funny.
Now, do you know what's so bad as well? You lot already touched on some of the things that I wanted to ask you already. So we've kind of covered that, so that's good. But then the other question I had was, what are your top three albums?
Ooh.
I don't know, man.
That's a hard question. Like any...
Any genre?
No, any, like, kind of more, being more specific.
Okay.
Like,
how specific do you want me to get?
Like, as in top three to play, top three
to listen to. Okay, how about this? Three, how about,
like,
this?
Gospel, do you know what I mean? Like,
what is your favorite album you like to play, you like to listen to? And it just, like, all time, like.
All right. That's a tricky one still.
It's too hard for me.
Because I feel like whatever I choose, I'll be missing something out. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
I listen to... I change my air so much.
Oh, really? Do you know what I mean?
I change my air. You're basically asking me today.
Okay, how about this? The most favorite of your, like, the most recent album that you listened to that you've loved so much?
Do you know, I had an answer for the last one, so I'm going to answer that and this one. Cool. So,
go on, Shed.
You go.
Most recent album.
That you've, like, something that you've loved recently.
Mali Music's new album.
Okay.
Okay.
And what's that called for the people?
Is it The Book of Mali, I think.
Yes, I think that's what it's called.
Yeah, literally, I was listening to it on my way here, bro. I've spun that album, The Book of Mali, came out a couple weeks ago, months ago, whenever this comes out. That album, it said, a lot of people I know said, I went left or but this album for me, there's certain tracks, it's not a whole top to bottom I can rinse that. I have to skip one or two, but, like, that album just cutting for me, man.
See, I like the album a lot, but my thing is, like, I love praise and worship music so much. It's very hard for me to listen to studio Christian music, personally. Like, I still do listen to it, but someone like Mali Music, like, his that the song Yahweh, that album, that I think Second Coming or whatever it's called, like, it's not on Spotify now, and that really annoys me. So because of that, I would not listen to that. No, I'm joking.
Mali, if you listen to this, go and put that album.
Trust me, Mali Music, please.
We need that one.
Or at least on your next album, give us at least one or two praise and worship songs on that album, and I'll leave you alone, I beg.
Because everyone should have Mali Music after this.
Mali Music is, like, one of the most amazing artists. Like,
sick.
And I even go to listen to a lot of his. If you go listen to, like, a lot of his live interpretations or covers or versions of his song, everything, it's always different. He never does how it sounds on record. Mm. So it's like, how? One of my favorite Mali performances when he did American Idol, right? He had a song, is it Beautiful?
Yeah, that performance is...
Serious. So he did American Idol. I think he just got signed at that point. So that was kind of in his deal kind of thing. But then he plays keys, so he jumps on keys at the end. And then, brother, he almost lashed himself. You can see it on the camera. He almost lashed himself, yeah. And it was like, he was playing Beautiful. And then he was about to go into Let Us Sing Songs of the Glory. So close. He said, Let Us Sing Songs. And they said,
That's a bit too churchy for mainstream.
And you're like, an American Idol. Like, this is J-Lo and churchy, like, the man sitting on the panel. Like, this is America's big, like.
He said, let me control myself.
Yeah, yeah.
But even that performance, like, I just like that. I've seen him live twice now when he came to the UK. I went to his show. That was band as well. And obviously, full band situations.
Mm.
I love listening to full band situations. Like, I love listening to praise and worship gospel albums, like live recorded albums. Studio recorded albums, I guess sometimes if they can get that same approach, like, they can. Like, some albums are still live instruments, but it's not recorded like in a live one live session. Like, maybe drummers recorded live parts, bass players recorded live parts, but then it's mixed, but it's not actually a live recording.
Mm.
Whereas some are literally at an event live recorded.
Yeah, like most of your William McDowell albums are like live recordings. Yeah. Like, they did it, they recorded it. But even when they do a live recording, like, they still overdub it after. So like, because emotions and everything, like, no singer's going to be perfect, like, the whole night. Some of it will be pitchy. So the same singers have to go back to the studio after and re-record the whole concert in the studio. Bass players do the same thing. So that's why when people are complaining about prices of gospel tickets, like, fam, to do this stuff is not cheap. Like, they're not just giving you the concert. They still got work to do after.
Yeah.
And then post-production.
So, you know, I'm hearing, Shad. Look, this is free information you're getting. Free. You ain't got to pay for this. All you got to do is subscribe, like, share it with your friends.
That's
right.
No, she'll put it. Look, subscribe. You know, how it is. But yeah, no, go on.
So I'd say my favorite, one of my favorite gospel albums, and generally I only really listen to gospel music. I mean, I listen to other music too, but like, if you go on my Spotify, it's filled with gospel.
Boo to Spotify. Boo.
Yeah, Apple.
Music, bro.
You didn't get no Google Nest, bro.
I did
that Google Nest.
I did get one. That's the thing, so but it's washed. Rubbish.
It's I gave so it away. Washed. Got, it's so music. Rubbish.
Well, why did you think they were giving it away? Because it's dead.
I leave it in my kitchen.
Of course, they're gonna give something rubbish away to you guys.
It's just not good.
Leave it in my kitchen.
Yeah, one of my favorite albums that I feel a lot of people don't know about. There's an artist from Orlando, Florida called Javis Mays. He is amazing, and one of his albums called Hashtag Plugged In. One of my favorites, like, that intro is crazy, like, and people playing on the album are like, they're now Fred Hammond's like current band.
Oh, actually, so like all the Red Camp
guys
about.
And yeah, so a lot of them guys playing on that. So that's one thing for me, when David I look Allen. At an out al- yeah David Allen produced this one, so okay. When I look at an album and stuff, like,
I
like to find out who's behind and who's playing the album. That affects like how much,
you know, I'm invested in the album.
Do you know what I mean? So
that's a new one. Never heard that before.
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie, I do the same thing at gigs as well. Like,
oh really?
If I'm going to a show, who's in the band?
Like, oh no, okay, yeah, I hear that. Know, yeah, like, yeah, yeah, of course.
Who's playing? Like, yeah, I know, no, if you want to know who's on kit. Yeah. I might go to a show because X is on drums. Or,
yeah,
like,
yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I think a lot of people actually do that.
I even remember actually, I tweeted, how recently was it? I said, guys, if you're trying to show someone like good examples of how to play drums, how to play gospel on drums, like, what albums would you pick? What did I
say? You try out me?
I don't think it was you.
I think I said, you asked for three songs.
Oh, I saw that.
I think you said, pick three songs that you think are a perfect example of drums.
And yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then,
yeah, I think you picked one that I was a bit like,
I need to find the tweet. I'm gonna find it. It was
but yeah, I'd say one of my favorite gospel albums of all time.
Thirsty.
Yeah, Marvin Sapp, Thirsty. If you want to know about gospel music, go listen to that. In terms of what I'm listening to right now, well, I was listening to an album called Freedom by Kel Bailey. This is what I mean. Like, in America, the gospel industry is like a real industry. Mm. So he's, I wouldn't say he's underground, but like, if we were American, you'd know who he is. But because we're UK, we don't know who he is. So Freedom by Kel Bailey. That album was dope. Kel. K-E-L-L.
Like Keenan and Kel.
Yeah, but with a second L.
Oh, okay.
So Kel Bailey. Dope album.
I listened to, What's her name's new album?
Is it Benita Jones?
No, not her.
Even that new album, she did a live recording, The Entreating.
Okay.
Very good. Very, very good. And that's got like Brandon Macklin on drums and that.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, it's serious.
I think it was Corey. Is it Corinne Hawthorne? What's her name?
I've seen that name.
Yeah, I'll check that out.
I don't know who she is.
CCM
here is just like
she's a studio artist though. She got a tune with Stephanie on her new album though.
He's gonna go check that out. I've never listened to that.
I listen to that album, I just get that one, but I like to, I'm on Spotify, I'm a New Music Friday guy. Whatever's there, tell me what album just came out that day.
Okay.
Do you know what I re-listened to the other day? James Fortune's Live Through It album. It's the one, like, from... Yeah, Live Through It. It's the one with, what song? Best Praise on it.
Oh, yeah.
I re-listened to the album. I was just like...
They overdid it. They did a lot.
No, but it's sick, though. Like, as much as everyone has a lot to say about all of James Fortune's kind of music being too much, like... Secretly, you love it.
For me, like, Never Again. Like, James Fortune song, Never Again. For me, I remember listening to that song for the first time.
That's the song.
That's the song, yeah.
He said that would be a great example to show someone gospel drumming. I said, no way.
For me, that's one of the first songs that made me know. I knew who Calvin Rogers was, yeah.
Okay, I'll give it to you then.
Calvin Rogers is a drummer who used to play for Fred Hammond. Calvin Rogers is the
Michael Jordan of drumming, basically, of gospel drumming.
Gospel drumming.
Yeah.
Or he's more like today's, like, obviously there's Marvin McCree, but he's passed away, so it's like.
Calvin Rogers is the Michael Jordan of gospel drumming. I'll say it again.
He's a guy.
I know certain people are going to at me for that comment, but I don't care.
He's a guy, innit? So one of the first times I came across Calvin Rogers before doing my history was Never Again. Because I just said, Calvin, let's go. Like, I heard that intro and I said, what?
Yeah, that thing is legendary for musicians.
So I heard that and I was like, to me, that's when that kind of shifted my, this stuff, what's that chop? What is that?
And for those that aren't musicians, listen out for a lot of gospel music you listen to. You will hear on at least like maybe 10 tracks, Calvin, let's go. And it's just like it's now a catchphrase. So if Calvin's playing drums,
if you know Calvin's
it's playing, Calvin, let's go.
And or if you just start. Say, what you got, Calvin? Like, if you hear the name Calvin, like, you know, yeah, it's Calvin Rogers.
Yeah.
The guy. But
I hear that, man.
Yeah.
You might not really in your bag, fam.
Like, I could talk about music for days.
You might not in your bag, shot. No, it's good because it's proper insightful for me. People to hear how a musician actually sees worship and gospel and CCM and all of that stuff.
Wait, one thing I didn't say, the one thing I will give CCM is their like attention to detail and preparation and production and tech is like second to none. Like
everything in CCM is live recorded and more time is praise and worship at their church.
Yeah, like it's not
that's just
any. It's just the norm. Like what you're listening to in your ears from the album is what they would hear in a church setting. Like so, that's one thing I think is amazing.
So their preparation into like, and I follow like some like CCM church drummers or channels on like YouTube and stuff like that. Like they show you the behind the scenes and how they program. Like for example, it may seem spontaneous to you, but bro, everything they're running, they're using softwares like Ableton. And they're just triggering things, and they're just like
to the point at which they might have specific parts of their drum that once they hit, it triggers a certain light pattern and stuff. Bro. So then that's when you now get like it's crazy, like their level of obviously there's gospel churches and stuff that do that too, but you know gospel they focus more on live playing, whereas a lot of the CCM guys like they don't play things live all the time. A lot of it is like tracks and like. So,
even like to the point where I know some everyone would like say different, but like some drums, for example, tuning drums, right? I know like Hillsong, for example, they all their kits in all their churches, especially for maybe recording or sake, are the same. Like they tune to certain decibels and certain like tones. Like
obviously they're very, very particular.
Very like, particular about how you're supposed to approach playing, how you play, the cymbals you use, the things that like they're very particular. Very, very particular. Some of us man just play and let the spirit lead.
But, trust me. Yeah, man.
That man is prep.
Them man prick, some of us are. I was about to say some of us just play and inshallah, but it's that deep. It's the language in it.
That's a play and inshallah. Oh my days.
Oh my. Aye.
That is funny.
Hey, you see?
That's a play and hope.
Play and hope for the best. Oh.
Literally.
Oi, that's so funny.
Wing it.
That's so funny.
I need to get rid of winging it.
What, do you mind wing it, man?
I can't even get into that, man.
Yeah, all the time, man. Now, do you know what it is? It's a mentality that... it's a mentality that I don't really have as much anymore, like, but... Actually, it depends. Like, I'm always a believer in, if you say yes to doing something, like any gig... Mm-hmm. Like, the fact you've agreed to do it means you should give it 100% of your thing. That's one thing I believe. However, like, I've grown up in a church where we don't really have, like, singers or, you know, you come to rehearsal late at times. So it's like, well, if you sent the song list in, like, I'm not going to listen to all the songs because I know them. Like, you're singing Casting Crowns and you're singing, like, so, like, I know them. So I'm not going to spend time in the week to, like, study on it and stuff. So in those circumstances and stuff, I would say I... wing it. But I wouldn't even call it winging it because like the preparation for that has been done already once upon a time. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, that makes sense.
But yeah, no, winging it, you can't wing it and on something really serious. You'll get found out.
Yeah, clean. Hey.
You'll get found out because even if you've learned the song, if you don't know the song, you won't know like a certain pushes in songs like that. Especially as a drummer, to be honest, actually, as a drummer, it's easy because you don't have to hit the note, you just have to hit the push. So
I hear that.
But it's easier, I think. And you get away, I think drummers get away with a lot. But then at the same time, it's so clear when a drummer hasn't learned a song compared to like someone else.
But then again, that can go down to skill, especially for like, you know, like pushes and stuff. But like, I won't lie, it's not the best thing to do. But if I was to listen to a song, I'll play the intro.
Bro, I'm the same.
Skip. Listen to what's happening there. Hit the outro. Hit the bridge. Hit the thing. And I'll be like, oh, yeah, it's a CCM.
Yeah. Especially if it's CCM. Oh. That's what I do. And then whoever's like sent the songs, if they're a musician, and I'll be like, bro, are there any other sections other than the da 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 or the da 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 da? They'll be like, no, those are the only two sections in the piece. Cool. See you on Sunday.
And drums, especially even drums. Like, bruv, like, they'll tell me, yeah, just learn the intro.
But you can't do that with gospel. No.
Especially if you're playing a full song.
You can do it at CCM, but you can't do that with gospel.
Like, as long as you just play the first part, boom, boom, boom. And then get the intro down, you're nice. And then the rest of the song. It's like, okay, you can, the groove works. Just build the full chorus. Hit open hats. Get it. Like, you can get away with a lot. But, for example, playing, like, melodic stuff or, like, actually having to follow what vocals are doing. Mm-hmm. Drummers can hack, big time.
100%.
Kind of got it away with that.
Nah, this has been a proper insightful for me. When I do eventually get back on the drums, I will be paying a lot more attention to the musicians.
I'm not gonna lie, bro. Since I've been playing bass, like I've been trying to recently. I said to myself this year, play more bass. It's changed my perspective completely. Mm. I got very complacent on drums, like very in terms of learning songs and stuff. But since I writing numbers down, bro, spun me. Yeah, it's
not easy. And the worst bit is, especially if I was to go through some of my notes now for songs I've done, do you know what I might do after this? I'll send you an example of my notes for a song and you can maybe see what it looks like. Yeah. The worst is I might write down like 3/6 bouncy. And I'll do that like a week ago. A week later now,
be like,
what the hell does bouncy mean again? And like, because I wrote down the notes, I didn't write notes properly.
Yeah.
It's like, and I do it all the time. And I'm just like, ah, then I have to listen to the song again. And then it's, that's what
another,
I meant
that's
by
another
bouncy.
Thing, man. How's the song go? Yeah.
Just six a little bit, just to click
all
that.
All I need is it. Even if I just hear the
half a second pad, of the first,
I just need to hear the pad on the intro and what chimes come in.
But that comes back to us not knowing lyrics.
So you don't know. You don't know what you have to do after this.
But I'm, I told
learn
you
some lyrics.
I told you I'm changing though.
But
I'm changing.
I can sing along when I'm not playing and I'm in church. I'm not just clapping my hands and nodding my head. Like a lot of man say musicians do. But I'm
yikes.
Where?
God, it sounds like you got birds to pick us up.
I like
I'm easy, like, bro.
He's trying to act someone.
I don't know. No one stole. All right, yeah, talk about.
Are you sure, Shed?
I'm easy, bro.
No, but on the road, though, this has been great. It's very insightful. Thank you, guys, honestly. We're definitely going to do something. And hopefully the guy that was supposed to be here will be in the next video we do together. I'm buoyed. Let me not even, because if I say his name, he'll be upset with me. So I'm not going to say his name. But yeah, no, but for real, how can we connect with you guys? Like, I know you guys both, I don't know if you do lessons. Oh, you do actually.
Yeah.
You teach as well. So just plug yourselves, all of that good stuff.
Yeah, so you can follow me on Instagram at DG Bass. Bass is BASS, not BASE. So DG Bass _ on Instagram. I'm doing lessons on bass. If you need bass on your track, you can hit me up as well. I've recently started producing as well, gospel producing. So hopefully that will be up and running soon, where any up and coming gospel artists, you want to actually have a track, then yeah, you can get in touch with me. If you need bass on your track, on the land bass, you need a bass player. hit me up. Even if you need a keys player, man, the economy's tight. Hit me up. I can run it.
So what are your boy? Is it a good price or not? Like?
Good prices, yeah, man. You know,
what, no mix rates.
I give you a good deal.
I give you for you, my brother.
For you,
I give you a good deal.
As long as the pockets are not empty. Empty.
Hey, man, they're too funny.
So Instagram, Shenz on drums. That's SHENZONDRUMZ. Twitter, Shenz drums. Teaching, just DM me or email me, shenzdrum@gmail.com. Also got a YouTube channel. I do like, to be honest, if people support me, I'll probably do a lot more, but I kind of held back off it. But I was doing, I had like a series going on where I made sure I played every Sunday. Like I filmed myself playing every Sunday, and I was trying to just be raw and honest and just show reality of how I approach praise and worship.
That's
so you can
really good actually. Yeah.
You can check that out.
Everybody, check that out, man. That's, check it out. That's a Shen dope
Sunday
dope
seat. I haven't uploaded them in a minute, but I will be back doing it.
You back in the church building?
We are back in the church building.
Yeah, so run it then, bro.
My praise and worship's best short. I can't.
Do you even have a full band coming in, or is it?
It's like three piece. It's even synth bass and keys. So again, I've missed playing with a bass player. So, so Shen Sunday C. There's a couple of vlogs up there as well. Just email me if you need production. Not so much the gospel stuff, like in terms of gospel sounding stuff. Like I can't play keys like that, so I can't do heavy production, but.
He can do heavy production. He just means if you want a Tasha Cobbs album, he's not your guy. I'm your guy. If you want a Marley Music album, he's your guy. That's what he means.
Something like
in the little thing.
Yeah.
You know what? At the thing,
why is he being humble for?
At the thing, David said, I was next to him. He said, I might actually add a little bit of sign to this, you know. And then as soon as I saw it, I said, your turnaround is quick. I rate that. I said, Bunny, give me an hour. It was a healthy competition. Yeah. I said, Bunny.
No, because the way the worship was flowing at G-Clash, I just heard it and I was like,
it was heavy still.
Yeah, nah, like, this would be nice.
And when I heard what you did, I just said, I would vibe to it this way.
Yeah, your flip was nuts still.
So I just did a little Afro swing flip somewhere. So check it out. And man, shout out, man. Thanks for having us as well.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for coming, man. But yeah, man, you guys know what to do. Like, comment, subscribe, tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend, to tell their mom and their dad and their brother and their sister. You get. But yeah, guys, we are out. God bless. Take care.